Thank you guys for leading in worship. Awesome job as always. Andre, thank you for sharing, man. Always appreciate your heart in that. Well, if you will, go ahead and turn in your swords to 1 Peter. Excited about today and really ties in a lot to where Andre is saying. Andre, that's a special song to me as well. Remind me to tell you later. I don't want to share it now. I might get Cryfest 2015. But man, a good one for me as well. All right. It's good to see everybody this morning. Last week, we continued in this True Grace series of 1 Peter, talking about this theme of submission. And really, that continues today, but also mixed with this theme of continued suffering that we see in this passage. One thing I want to ask you to do is to continue to remember the audience that this letter was written to. As you think about someone reading and hearing the words about submitting and suffering, these are people that understand this because, in fact, they are submitted to the will of God that it costs them virtually everything in their life that they consider normal. That they are in the midst of suffering, and so when Peter writes about submitting or suffering, right, these are people that understand very well where he's coming from. In fact, these are people that are actually suffering for the sake of the gospel. Now, if you're like me and you want to get in this canoe and paddle with me, most of the time when I suffer, it's because of my own doing, right? Some of my choices or some of the things that I've done, but these people are actually people that are suffering because they've taken such a bold stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So remember, remember, remember the audience today as you hear this. But also today in 2015, there is a word from God for us in Scripture this morning. If you'll join me, we'll read starting in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 18. It says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Anybody want to give an amen right there? Amen. "By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this word that is timeless, that is a plan for us today, as well as this church of dispersion that was reading this. Father, passed down through the ages of time, and Father, I believe, in a day where great persecution is here already in the global church and is coming to the church in America as well. And so, Father, may we be intent like the reader hearing this about submission and suffering and all of these things for the sake of the gospel and how we're to respond when persecution comes, that we do so with grace and we do so like Jesus did as well. Father, let us model Christ in all that we say and do. And Father, in any area that you need to speak, we pray it many, many times. We say you don't need our permission, but we as a people willingly lay down, tear down any walls that's to a hard heart, and just say, have your way in us this morning. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in this, I read a quote, and I want to share that with you this morning. I thought it was excellent on the idea of this suffering and submission. See, really, there's an idea going on in our world that in the church culture, that when you give your life to Christ, when you just walk down an aisle, if you will, and pray this prayer and give your life to Christ, that really everything is going to be great, grand, and rosy. And I want to tell you, I found that nowhere in Scripture. But I hear it many as they teach, and here's what John Piper says. He says, our calling, our vocation is to be misunderstood, to be criticized, to be ignored and hurt for doing what is right, yet not return hurt for hurt. That's the calling that Christ has given us, understanding that really when we are a Christ follower, this world will not accept us. And we will be criticized, we will be misunderstood, we will be persecuted, and that when we are hurt, our job is not to repay hurt with hurt. Anybody with me this morning want to say that that's a difficult job, right? That's the first reaction when we've been hurt. Hurt people hurt people, right? And we look at this and we see Peter speaking to a group of people that have obviously been hurt and all kind of injustices laid upon. In fact, one of the biggest injustices of all time is slavery, but in fact, it still is. I read some statistics this week that has troubled me beyond just letting it be a number that falls off my brain and onto my tongue to tell you about. It's deeply affected me this week, and it's numbers that we've heard before, but I want you to listen to this. It's estimated today that in the United States of America, listen to me, the land of the free, the home of the brave, in the United States of America, right now, that there are between 57 to 63,000 people involved in human trafficking. Right now, at this moment, in the United States. Russia, a statistic I read on them, 490,000 to 540,000 estimated people in forced labor at this moment. They are ranked number 49 in the world. That means there are 48 more countries that have more than 500,000 people in forced labor. Many of them forced to work in construction, manufacturing, the drug trade, and sex trade. 49 at 540,000. It continues where 48 countries have more than 500,000. The injustice, the unjust acts continue today. They were unjust then and they're unjust now. And so when we see a passage in this and Peter is addressing something like slavery, don't misunderstand here. Don't think that Peter is somehow condoning this idea of slavery. He's not. He's continuing to talk about people that are under oppression and under an unfair treatment, under persecution, if you will. But what he's doing is he's reaching out to the believer and saying, no matter the circumstances, no matter how you're treated, no matter what hand you are dealt, you are to respond and not repay hurt for hurt. In other words, when someone looks at you and sees this dramatic testimony of being in oppression, being in persecution, being in all these bad things that we've read through this 1 Peter and that we've heard and that we know persecution has brought, that we are to respond in some kind of way where someone even sees that, even a captor, even a master, even a government, that they would look at your life and say, wow, something is different. Because here's what the world does. When the world is hurt or when the world is unjustly oppressed or anything or persecuted or talked about or any of these things, it repays and it ups the ante, right? It just tries to, you got me, I'm going to get you back. I'm all of a sudden thinking about Medea and Dr. Phil, right? You're going to get the guy, right? You remember that scene? It's a great scene if you've never seen it, right? Which one is that? Medea goes to jail? It's Medea goes to jail, Medea's Christmas, Medea's family. I don't know. It's one of them, but it's great. It's a great scene that I remember from that. Right? And really, that's the attitude. We're going to get the one who got us. But that's not what Christ calls us to. And really, in here, Peter reminds that no matter if good or gentle being the master, we can still hear echoes of the verses ahead. For the Lord's sake. I want you to understand this morning that I believe echoing through the pages of history here, through the pages of time, if you could really just hear the voice of Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, through this redneck's voice this morning, listen to what he's saying. You live and breathe this morning for the Lord's sake, if you know him. If you know him, it's no longer you that lives, but he that lives through you. Right, and we know this. We know this in thought, but I want you to understand and grasp that this morning. The real principle of your life is to live in such a way where the world can see a difference because God is all about bringing people into relationship with Him, and He does that through us. This is our calling, to endure for the Lord's sake, and as Piper said, not repay hurt for hurt. Look at verse 19. What you see, he talks about this as a gracious thing. For this is a gracious thing. We have been shown true grace. Amen. What a name for a series, right? Why would we come to a passage like this and others that we will see? Really, we have been shown true grace, but in essence, we are called to show true grace to others. You say, man, I don't really understand what you're talking about. Now, let me just explain it in this way. You have been shown this immense, immeasurable grace. And as far as I can tell from Scripture, when we come to a relationship to God in Christ, the only way possible, it's not by religion, it's not by your grandparents, it's not by an organization, it's not by a church, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we have relationship to God. That when we come to God, when we come to a relationship with Him, really this is something that He is just really calling us to abandon everything that we have known and live for Him. That it's no longer us that live, but He lives through us. And that we are to show true grace to others. That same grace that's been shown to you is the same grace you need to show a coworker tomorrow morning when they just really start you off with a case of the Mondays. When they give you a bad start tomorrow, you're to show them true grace. Kids, when you go to school this week and somebody just really aggravates you and you're a follower of Christ, you're to show them true grace. When someone has really wronged you, as the people who are reading this, running from the government, running from people who are persecuting them, wanting to kill them for their faith, Peter says, don't repay hurt for hurt. Right? Don't do that. Show them this grace. This is a gracious thing. Here's what he says, but here is an important key. Mark it down, highlight it, make a mental note. Here's the key. A gracious thing when mindful of God. How many of you, to encounter a situation, to really show someone that really just aggravates you or has hurt you, and to show them true grace, understand this morning the only way possible to do that is going to be when you yourself sit right there in your spot, Gary, and you say, the only way to do this is going to be when I am mindful of God. Meredith, to say, I am only going to be able to do this when I am mindful of God. Anybody want to give an amen to that? Right? And your flesh, it's difficult to do this, but here's what Peter says. A gracious thing will be when you have the mind of God, when you are mindful of God. And so because of God and because of our relationship, he continues in saying, enduring sorrows and suffering unjustly. I just want to make a note here going into verse 20. Let's read it together and give you just a little tidbit on it. Verse 20. It says, for what credit is it when you sin, you are beaten for it and endure? I just want to just throw out here that I mentioned this earlier, but sometimes when we suffer, it may not be because of the gospel's sake. Some of you, this isn't a stretch, right? You know exactly where I'm coming from. Some of our suffering, some of our things that happen are directly because we could walk into a bathroom this morning, back in the corner, and open the door and go and look in the mirror and say, there is culprit number one, right? I found him, right? There's the most wanted right there. It's his fault. It's her fault that this is going on, right? It's not because of this great sacrifice I've made, although sometimes we like to paint it that way. Boy, I've been the chief of that sometimes. I'll get to my quiet time and stuff, and I'm saying, Lord, I just feel like I've been treated unjustly and this and that. And I look back and say, well, really, really maybe it was pride that brought that on. Really, maybe it was anger in my heart. Really, maybe it was sin for me and all of these things. And I try to make it this, putting Keith as this martyr, right? But really, it's been Keith that needs to look in the mirror and say, man, I brought some of that on myself. And so really thinking about why we are suffering, and Peter addresses that. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten, you endure, right? But when you do good and suffer for it and endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. I want to ask a very real question this morning. I want you to be completely honest. This is a safe place. Who in here this morning wants to suffer? I mean, really, if you were to say this morning, if I could have anything that I wanted, I really want me a Thanksgiving double helping of some suffering with some gravy on the side. Amen for gravy. Amen. Right? But nobody's going to sign up for that and say, I really want me some suffering. But here's what Peter says, that when we suffer for doing good and endure it, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Now, I ask you this question. Who in here would like God to look at them and say, boy, that, Caitlin, that is a gracious thing in my sight. Right? Brandon, that is a gracious thing in my sight. Who wants some of that? Amen? Hallelujah? I would love for the Lord to look at me and think that. But listen to this. It continues on. Not only for this suffering thing, but listen to what he says in verse 21. Again, remember the audience here. People who are being persecuted. And let's be honest. If persecutors for doing right have to be questioning, God, why are you doing this to me? I've given up everything. I've left my family. I've left my job. I've left all the comforts of my home. I'm on the run. I'm on the lam. And it's all for you. And here's what Peter tells them. For to this you have been called. I want to tell you, if I'm just completely honest this morning, this is where I have a problem with God sometimes. Is it okay to say that from up here? Because sometimes I do. I look at God and I say, boy, if I was to structure things and Keith was to be God, I would have set that up a whole lot differently. But he says, for this you have been called. These people at this moment have been called to suffer, going back a few verses earlier, for the Lord's sake. On the run, desperate, spreading the word as they go, thinking that for the Lord's sake, Peter says, I am called to do this. But listen to this beautiful, sweet reminder. You're not alone. Christ also suffered for you. You know, in Scripture, we get a clear painting that really Jesus understands what we're going through. He walked and he lived this life as a human being. He understands, right, the struggles, the temptations. He doesn't understand the sin because he was perfect, but he took on our sin. And here's what Peter is reminding the people. Christ is not calling you to do anything he hasn't already done for you. He suffered for you. He suffered for your sins, leaving you a what? Fill in the blank. Jamie's on there. Anybody else see it? Leaving for you. And it's in Scripture. Starts with an E.
Example.
All right. Yeah, Jamie's the only one in this Bible that says that. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. I don't know what you think about this, but I know where Christ's steps took him. Christ's steps took him into living a perfect, sinless life. First off, stepping out of heaven's glory. He's always been. He's not just popped on the scene one Christmas morning as this sweet little dear baby Jesus, not to go all Ricky Bobby this morning, but that's not his first existence. He's always been. It's always been the plan. God knowing before the foundation of the world that you and I would mess things up with sin, and he sent his one and only Son to die for us. His first smells, his first breath taken in a manger and smelling all of the things that happens with inside a barn and all of these things. Not a king that would come and live in a palace, but a carpenter's son living a perfect life, dying for us. And his steps led him to a cross where he willingly laid down his life for whose sake? Not his sake, the Lord's sake. And Peter says, for this you have been called, and he suffered for you to give you an example so that you may follow in his steps. I want to tell you, and in a setting like this on a Sunday morning, instead of a preacher standing and saying, who in here doesn't want to go to hell? Well, come on down and pray this prayer and go to heaven with me, right? Of saying, anyone in here want to suffer for the sake of the gospel and follow in the steps of Jesus to possibly even your own death? I want to tell you, it'd probably be a lot of empty altars. It'd probably be a lot of people walking out the door and saying, I want none of that. And if we're honest this morning, looking in the mirror and looking at ourselves in some one-on-one time, us saying, I don't know that I want to sign up for that. Well, here's the good news. I don't know that he's called us all to that eventual death, right? In fact, that's obvious. We know people who are followers of him that haven't led to that place. But maybe he has. And I think a very real question is to ask this morning, God, what if, say like in the story of Job, you allow just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, would I still look in that same mirror and say, you are my beloved and I am yours. I love you. And for your sake, I'll suffer. Because God would look at that and say, that's a gracious thing. That is a gracious thing. But here in the church of the West, in the church of America, we look and say, man, they didn't like my Facebook post. I'm so persecuted. Wake up. That's not persecution. There is real persecution going on in our world today. And some of us may be called in the very near future, not some little meandering small little thing like that, but a real suffering for Christ. He left us an example so that we might follow in his steps. You may suffer, and suffer for and at the hands of others, but for God's sake, just as Christ did, some may even lose their very life. Do you remember the 21 Coptic Christians killed in Egypt? We put their names on a screen and we talked about them one day. Have you heard the stories coming out of Egypt right now? Jessica, I think you did a great job that day. We talked and was thinking about that really this was for the Lord's sake. And it's tough to wrap our mind around that, and it's tough to, you know, think about their families and their loss, but to see those families and say, we forgive the people who did this. I want you to know, here's what happened if you haven't heard any of the stories. A poem was written the day or days following these 21 Coptic Christians that were killed. If you don't remember the scene, I've never watched the video, won't ever watch it. Don't want to see it. But I know I saw the pictures, right? These people that were extremists, that were dressed in black, had the slits in their eyes so you could just see their eyes, and then you had the people in the arms, right, our brothers, kneeling before them that they would lose their life. There has been a poem written by an Egyptian poet, and it's went viral over there. In fact, not long after this, 1.6 million tracts were given out for the glory of the Lord, for the Lord's sake, and it had this poem on it. I want to read it to you. It's called Two Rows by the Sea, Two Rows of People. Two rows of men walk the shore of the sea on a day when the world's tears would run free. One a row of assassins who thought they did right, the other of innocents, true sons of the light. One holding knives and hands held high, the other with hands empty, defenseless and tired. One row of slits to conceal glaring dead eyes, the others with living eyes raised to the skies. One row stood steady, pallbearers of death, the other knelt ready, welcoming heaven's breath. One row spewed wretched, contemptible threats, the other spread God-given peace and rest. A question, who fears the other? The row in the orange, watching paradise open, or the row in black with minds evil and broken? This was placed on 1.6 million tracts passed out in Egypt, and the stories are coming in by the thousands that people are repenting and turning away from Islam, turning away from Muslim teachings, and turning to Christ, turning away and turning to Christ. There's even been stories, and I know from some of you that are like me and you have Southern Baptist backgrounds, and this might freak you out, but I believe it's the God-given truth. I've heard people that I know that have seen it saying that people are having, Muslims are having dreams and visions of this man by the name of Jesus Christ and are being saved for the glory of God. There's even a story, Scott Dawson, if you know who he's an evangelist, on Rick and Bubba the other day, he was telling this story about this pastor that is standing outside, this Christian pastor in Egypt, and he's come, these people pull up in this black sedan, and they get him, and they place him in the back of a car, and they put a cloth over his head. You know, immediately what he thinks is, this is the end. This is where I die. This is the last of my life. He's thinking about his family. He's thinking about all these things. And they take him to this place and they rush him into this room and they take the cloth off. And he's standing there and he said, it's obvious I'm standing before Islamic militants. I'm standing before a group of people. And the only thing that he could say, he knew it was the end. He said, what do you say about Jesus of Nazareth? Room full of them. And he said, as soon as he said that, they all began to smile. And they said, we are believers in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're reading in the Bible about communion, and we want to take of the supper. And so he said, being a preacher like I did, he said, you know, I did the Lord's Supper. And he said, what time do y'all want me back next week? You know, being the preacher that he was. And they said, it's better for you not to know who we are or where you are. We know where you are, and if we need you, we'll come get you. So that's going to be his transport now, that he has a cloth placed over his head. And he said, for the glory of God, people are coming to faith in Christ. That may be a long, drawn-out story for you. You may not understand, but I want you to know that these people who knelt in the sand and said, I will not give up the name of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. And they died life's final breath. Their legacy continues because they suffered for the Lord's sake. Right? God had more in plan for that, and people will continue to come to Christ for all of these things that were done. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. May it not be as tough a suffering as that, but if called to a moment like that, understand that the Lord's sake, that the things may reach far beyond what we could even comprehend. Continuing on, I want you just to see more in Scripture. This is the example that he gave. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, in verse 22. Verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to whom judges justly. He himself bore our sins on the body of on the tree. In all of these things, we see Christ suffering, but here's why he suffered. Look at the end of verse 24. That we may die to sin and live to righteousness. I know this is an elementary principle this morning, but if you're ever going to encounter life, ever going to live life where you are this model of true grace, if you're ever going to be this person who, when suffers, that you have this idea that you're mindful of God, it's going to have to come down to this understanding the basic principle of the gospel is that he died so that you could die to your sin. But look at me. Everybody look this way. Not just once. I want you to know, and I've been so guilty of this, but that cheapens the gospel so much. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't just this, I died so that you could die to sin just once and walk down an aisle and have a party and maybe get dumped in a tank and just live life the way you wanted to. That's not why he did that. He did it for the glory of God, and that you could be benefactors of this, that you could die to sin and live to a higher call. This righteousness of life. And if you're like me, when you hear the word righteousness attached to something you need to be, it probably scares you to death. Or if you're like me, you get out the list and say, well, here's what I need to do to be righteous. Here's what you need to do is try your best to die to sin. And then when you sin, fall on your knees, broken before a holy God, and repent, and try your best to turn away from that and say, Father, I accept your grace. Move on. I'm not going to wallow in it. It's paid for, but I'm going to sure try not to do it again because of my love for you and because there is so much more to live for. We are to have the mind of God. So by his wounds, you've been healed. Look at this where he continues. Also, he said in this that we are straying like sheep. I couldn't help but remind myself of the time that we went through the 23 series together and thinking about the beautiful images of the shepherd and the sheep. And it says that we are straying like sheep, but return to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. You understand when he talks about the overseer there that Christ is the overseer of your soul, the one that basically is Lord and taking care of you, right? And that we are to follow direction. He is that shepherd. And so continuing to be mindful, we look as straying sheep returning to the shepherd. I I want to close with some points today, going back just a little bit. In this, in verse 19, it says that we are to be mindful of God. That's one key for us to be able to endure persecution, do so in an honoring way. But look at this. I want you to see something that we just kind of passed over in reading. Look at verse 23 in the end. It says, when he did not threaten, but Jesus, this is talking about Jesus, continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. Now, I want you to understand this. This is talking to people. Remember the audience who have all these injustices being brought on them for doing what is good, for dying to sin and living for righteousness, and our world is punishing them. They are being treated unjustly in here. And here's what Peter reminds them. Also, in this example of Christ, not only may it cause you to sacrifice like Christ did, but remember the example of Christ. Christ, God in the flesh, the Son of God, continued entrusting himself to who judges justly. When Jesus was brought before in these mock trials and he was beaten, he was cursed, he had his beard plucked, he was abandoned, it seemed, by his friends and all of these things, Jesus himself continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. Not earthly things, not man's hands, not any of these things, but entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. I want you to understand this morning, while others may treat you unjustly, his hand has got you. I mean, think about that this morning. No matter what life brings, no matter what injustice has come about you, his hand has got you. If you believe and continue to entrust yourself to the just one, trust and believe. I want to talk to you here for just a second because I believe this hits home with so many, and it does with me. I just want to show my hands this morning if anyone has ever wronged you. Has anybody ever wronged you? I just want to just share with you one of our great theologians of the church at Southside, and she's not here this morning, but Kinsey Anderson. Kinsey Anderson would tell you these words this morning. Kinsey's this big if you don't know who Kinsey is. Kinsey would tell you from one of her favorite movies, let it go. Let it go. And I say that this morning because I just happen to believe that coming to a place like this, and it's talking about the advancement of the gospel, is that some may have been hurt so deeply, right? Some may have anger and bitterness and all of these things to what has been done to you unjustly. You may be right in your stance. You may be at a place where you say, they shouldn't have done that to me. They shouldn't have said this. They shouldn't have acted that way. And you may be 1,000,000% right. Let it go. Lay it at the feet of the cross and say, I am going to entrust myself to the one who judges justly. That person has not treated me justly, but I am going to entrust myself to the one who judges justly. I wrote this and I want to read it to you in closing. Could it be that you are so hung up in what has been unjustly done to you in the past that it is crippling your present and clouding your future? Christ was unjustly dealt with, and he was perfect. Right? I mean, you're a sinner. You've messed up. You've brought things on your own. Christ did nothing except be perfect and die for us, and he himself was treated unjustly. Let it go and give it to God this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time together. My prayer is that, Father, one, that we could just be found worthy to live and if need be, suffer for the gospel. That you would give us opportunities just to be mindful of you in our day-to-day, and no matter what that comes, no matter what injustices come our way, Father, that we would entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. Understand that you're keeping score, that you're watching, and that you've got us. And Father, for those of us that are maybe carrying hurt from people we love, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ, maybe it's a person who's lost, maybe a someone we work with, go to school with, whatever the case may be. And Father, some maybe not even here living on this earth anymore to ever be able to apologize to us. Father, would you help us let it go? We need you, man. We need you because I believe what I just read, that maybe we're so caught up in the past that it's crippling our present and clouding our future. So help us. We need you in that. If we're going to advance the gospel, if we're going to be people that are mindful of you, people that are entrusting ourselves to the just one, help us to let all those things go. Father, it's tough. We're prideful people. We have feelings. Father, help us to let those things go. I ask you to just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. If that's you this morning and you would say, man, I would like just a special prayer to maybe let some of these things go. I don't have a magic answer. I don't have anything like that, but I would like to know who I'm praying for this morning. You just let me know. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Gotcha. Anyone else? Let it go. I'm going to pray for you, okay? Father, we just we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that is living and active. And for these that have been honest this morning and said, man, I need to let some things go, would you just comfort them? Would you be, Father, where maybe we lack as a person with our feelings, with the emotion that goes into things, would you just fill the void in those areas? I need that as well, Father. And so just help me to let things go when I've been wronged. And Father, let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes when we feel like we've been wronged, maybe we're part of that as well. Just help us to realize that. And realize it not just for that time, but for the future. And so, Father, we're just broken people. We need you. And Father, I think it goes without saying we need each other as well. And so help us be a community that walks through this life together and one that helps each other. When we see a brother or sister suffering, maybe for the sake of the gospel, maybe even suffering from their own doing, whatever the case, that we walk beside them and love them. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. And we just pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to continue...